2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, if you love your food, and let's face it, especially with the weather that we're having lately, you fancy a little bit of sun. Have you ever thought about doing a foodie holiday? And I'm not talking expensive five-star restaurants. No. We are talking all about a breakaway where the highlight is high-quality, local and authentic food. Well, Addie Dunworth is an expert in sniffing out the best grub wherever she travels. So we've asked her to come into us today to give us the best tips on the foodie focus breaks. Ali, good morning.
Morning.
As we were saying off air, this is so badly needed today.
Yeah.
When we just want a bit of an escape and the thoughts about going somewhere.
It's the perfect time to think about it or book something.
Yeah, I actually think sometimes we get the joy of actually just, like, you know, paying for the flight or doing the accommodation and going, that's coming. I have something to look forward to. It has happened all of us too many times though, where we've been on holidays and we get snared into like tourist trap restaurants where the food is bad and you end up overpaying. How can we avoid that happening to ourselves?
Well, I mean, research is key. I love researching food before I go on holiday, but I think even a little bit of research before you go, asking around, has someone been there before? I'll do extensive research, and like, I'll always start with, like, I always want to make a map before I go.
Okay.
So that even if you're going somewhere where you're going to explore the city, you have a little Google map of places saved, so you can be like, I'm beside that coffee shop, or I know that wine bar is there.
Okay. And I love the idea of this. And myself and producer Kate were talking about this morning. We're like, we love food so much, but we end up in the crap restaurants overpaying for food and it's so bad. And then beforehand, we're going, God damn it, why didn't we actually just do something simple?
But even like knowing to go a few streets back.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a really touristy city, like I always talk about, I love Athens to go and eat. And if you're in the really touristy areas, everyone's like, come and eat, friend, come and eat, friend. And like the menu is in like six languages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm kind of going to avoid that. But you go two streets in and you can kind of sniff something out that is going to be like delicious and more authentic.
Okay, fantastic. In terms of choice for foodie city breaks, you've picked three countries. You've picked Greece, you've picked France and you've picked Spain. Let's start with Greece.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the foodie destinations in Greece, and I can talk about my favourite part of eating in Greece.
Okay. I've been going to Greece for since I was like 17, mostly to the islands. Yeah. And then in the last few years, you know, we used to just land in the city and get straight to the islands. The last few years, I've discovered eating in Thessaloniki and in Athens, and blown away by both of them. Would go back again in a second. Thessaloniki is up in northern Greece and is a little bit more affordable than the rest of Greece.
Okay.
Greece is not particularly expensive unless you're going to the fancy islands anyway. But Thessaloniki, the food is amazing. They call it the culinary capital of Greece. And when you're in Greece, that's where the Greeks want to go on holidays and eat.
Okay, so if they're going on holidays there, then that's where we need to follow.
Yeah. And it's surrounded by like vineyards. So I went a few years ago on a trip. We went to a couple of the vineyards as well. So like, it's the kind of place where you can go and seek out like the ouzeri, which is the places where you're going to have the mezze and the sharing plates.
Okay.
And like ask, just drink the local wine. Like I love rosé in Greece. And you just drink the local wine. It'll come in a jug and it's going to be delicious. It's a really affordable way to eat. Like there's fancy places as well.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I always recommend on holidays, if you're going somewhere fancy, I love to go for lunch.
Okay.
Because you get better value and it kind of, it's a really nice thing to do in the daytime in between walking and sightseeing.
A lot of these places as well that are really fancy have the best views that you can't see at night anyway when you go for dinner.
Yeah, so
you may
very
as well
true.
Actually appreciate them during the lunchtime. Yeah. And what's your favourite thing when you're in Greece that you're eating?
Gyros.
Thank you. I was like, trying to explain that to Kate earlier on today, but I actually just realised I call them goizos. And it's just after dawn on my day, I was like, no, they're dumplings. I love them separately, but I love these.
I dream of them. And in Thessaloniki and in Athens, like there's heaps of them and they're...
Would you explain to people what they are? Just
so the gyros is a kebab, but it's like in Greece, it's in a pita bread, which, you know, if it's in a really nice place, they're making the pita bread fresh. The gyros is the meat that comes from the rotisserie.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's going round and round and round and they're slicing off the meat and it's really charred and they take them quite seriously. Like there's obviously going to be the really quick fast food ones, but then there's going to be the really authentic ones where they care about the wood that they're using, where they care about how they're cooking it, the meat that they're sourcing, and it is the tastiest thing in the world. There's tzatziki in there, you know,
like
really garlicky
lashings of that.
red onion. Oh my God. And like, again, 2-3 euros sometimes. Yeah. And like that with a cold beer.
Is the best. When we I went to Greece in 2021 and I could tell my time of day from like when it was time to eat one of these lads. Like I would be in the pool and I would not have seen a clock since about 8 o'clock that morning. And then I would just turn and go, It's time. Yeah. I've already been like, how do you know? And I'd be like, my stomach is telling
me
it's ready. We're
ready.
I
love them.
Rock.
And like, yeah, you can eat them any time of day on the way home from a night out, lunchtime, yeah. whatever. But like, it's that very much when I go to cities or anywhere looking for that like handheld food.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. And most of the European cities have their version of whatever the Eros is and kind of figuring that out. I always finding the best one, you don't necessarily find it by Googling. Like there'll always be a top rated one, but it's going to be the one with the biggest queue.
Yeah.
But I will usually, one of my top tips to get to any city is go to like a cool coffee shop or a wine bar your first day or a food tour. So you find a local who will tell you, where do you guys eat?
Yeah, where do you eat and where can I follow you to? Because you obviously know where the best stuff is.
Yeah.
We're going to go to France next. You are skipping Paris and you are focusing on the city of Lyon. Is it true that Lyon has got 4,000 restaurants?
Yes, apparently. I mean, I haven't been to them all, but yeah.
Yes.
I love Lyon. It's a really cool, like, Paris is amazing. But I suppose when you go to Paris, there's so much to do. You're not necessarily always going to be fully focused on the food. I would be.
Yeah.
But Lyon, you can go for purely a food holiday. I'd book an Airbnb or like a self-catering accommodation so you can go to the food markets in the morning.
Okay.
Again, like a great thing to do on your first day of any holiday is where is the local food market?
Okay.
Not the touristy one, where people shop. And in France, every city and town has one. You could pick up bits. You've got like your snacky bits at home. They do the kind of brasseries perfectly. That's what Lyon is famous for. They call them the bouchon. And then like there's an official, I suppose you have to be an official bouchon and have a plaque outside to say you are a sort of approved bouchon in the city.
Oh my God, quite love that. It's so bougie, isn't it?
Yeah, but the restaurants are not bougie. It's very much like pâté. Like it is quite French. There's lots of butter and pâté and meats, but like steak frites and like gorgeous glasses of wine. Again, local wine, like ask what's the closest place to here? What's the locals drinking?
Yeah.
You're going to get the best value. It's going to taste good with the food. There's an amazing place in Lyon called the Brasserie George. It's the oldest brasserie in Europe, they say.
Right.
It's huge. And like they come over and make the beef tartare in front of you, mix it in front of you. And they go around singing happy birthday about 20 times a night. Because they bring in an organ and the whole place sings it. So I think people just say it's their birthday.
I am that person.
Yeah, yeah,
I go
yeah.
to a restaurant and I take the little happy birthday thing for one of my friends to do the little cake. I love the flap of it so much. So that would be something I'd be interested in. You've also picked Nice. Why Nice?
So this time last year, actually last March, I went to Nice. And because my friend had a place there, he was like, do you want to come stay? Five of us went and I was like, I'm going to make this a food holiday. They trusted me to just decide where we were going to go. And like, honestly, one of the best eating days I've ever had. We went from I picked wine bars that had food. So we weren't sitting down. We did do like a lovely brasserie the night before, had that very, three course French dinner. It was gorgeous, inexpensive, lovely wine, nice vibe. But then we spent a whole day just going from wine bar to wine bar. And again, asking when we were there, like, this is what we like to drink. What do you have that's local?
Yeah.
And eating, and everywhere had like, there was all little, they've got loads of little like sandwiches and croquettes and like that kind of food that goes really well with grazing all day.
Picky bits.
Yeah, picky bits.
Yeah.
Picky bits. But like Lyon was like, I suppose you think of it as a busy or maybe a more commercial city than the rest of that part of France. But like you can make anywhere your foodie trip if you just do the right research.
I love that so far we've talked about Greece, then we've done Lyon and Nice, and you've done the Lord's work here by going, here's the foodie bits and here's also how to get the cheap wine.
The
cheap good stuff too. Over to Spain now, you've picked two there. Let's start with one that I don't know. Oviedo?
Also, get it? Excuse my pronunciation to any Spanish people listening. Oviedo?
Oviedo? Okay.
That's in the north of Spain. Now, you're not necessarily going there for the heat because at this time of year, it wouldn't be as bad as Ireland, but it's similar sort of climate.
Okay.
It's a beautiful part of the world, really lush and green and sort of has a Celtic vibe to it. It looks a bit like Ireland, but oh my God, the food is amazing and so different to like what we think about when we think of a Spanish holiday. So it's not it's not really beach bars, and it's very much like hearty food. They are really famous for cider, sidra. So that's kind of famous in the region. They make it all over, and you go to these bars and they will pour from a height. So because it's not aerated, it's not carbonated cider. So to get the air into it, they pour it really, really high and it goes down into a glass and you have to drink it in these kind of shots. So like it's really good crack. And there's a little street there that they call like Cider Boulevard that has loads of restaurants that do that.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's really, really
fun. Cider Boulevard.
It's really fun. And again, like you're drinking whatever, obviously there's loads of nice Spanish wine as well. Yeah. But when you're there, drink the cider. It's a big place for cheese. Okay. There's loads of agriculture and dairy around it. Oh my God, the cheese was amazing.
So you're just doing loads of like charcuterie boards, like cheese boards, all that kind of crack. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, they're really into like the sharing dishes. There's a dish there. I can't think of, I have the name written down here somewhere. I can't think of it, but it's like veal fillet stuffed with ham and cheese. And then breaded and deep fried, so they're little like bites you get, and they serve that like with the cider. It'd be really nice for this time of year actually, because it's probably a bit warmer than here.
Yeah,
but you'd be still kind of comfort food and stuff. And I think it's not far from Camino, so if people were doing that sort of vibe, you might go here for a holiday. And there's loads of like walking and hiking as well, so you could eat loads and do your hikes as
so
well.
You could do a bit of everything there.
Yeah.
Let's go to the other one, and it's in Costa del Sol, and this one is one that I'm very familiar with, and a lot of other people are too. Malaga, you're heading there shortly.
There at the end of March. Now, I think a lot of people think Malaga is just a stop off to get to the Costas, to get somewhere else. And I have been in Malaga before to go to Marbella or other places. Yeah. We had actually booked Seville, which is an amazing food city that I haven't been to yet. And I had done the research and I was really excited to go. The airline changed our flights. Okay. They got rid of the flights. So we switched to Malaga and I was like, I'm going to make Malaga a food city. I put a question box on Instagram and go like, who can tell me about Malaga? And obviously I'm in a very food world, so I got loads of recommendations.
Yeah.
There's a website called All the Food where she recommends Dublin restaurants. But if you're a member, you can also put in question boxes for places you travel in.
Okay.
So I do that. And then Lisa, who runs the website, like sent me a list for Malaga. She says she goes there once a year to eat. And she's like, it's one of the best underrated cities. And it is finding those places that are a little bit underrated where you're getting really good value.
Because obviously, like, I mean, I've flown into Malaga to go to Marbella.
Yeah.
And like for hen parties and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, and that is very touristy, like very commercial. But you know that because that's where you're going. You could do a day in Malaga if you were like, just wanted to do a food holiday first.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to do 3 nights there. I have been building my map of tapas bars. I've researched, and like I always want to know what's the local food, what's the drink. In Malaga, it's vermouth on tap.
Okay.
So everyone's like, you're drinking like Malaga wine, obviously very famous, the sweet wine, and they have like nice dry whites, but also vermouth on tap, and like going around having in the afternoon, you get the tap, you know, you get the free tapas with your drinks as well.
They know how to keep you.
Yeah. And then like pottering around again, views, like I can't wait. It's going to be a little bit warm, we hope.
Fingers crossed, anything is better than right now. Like, I mean, in terms of getting to all these places, it's quite simple. There are direct flights mainly from
everywhere. All the places I mentioned, it's either Ryanair or Aer Lingus.
Okay, fantastic.
And I mean, even with us going to Malaga in March, like it was that thing where we went on and said, where's the place we can fly the cheapest on these dates?
Yeah.
And then make it into
a
your food city.
Yeah.
Like just...
You don't have to go out of your way to... There's so many different destinations. What was the name of that website again?
Which one?
The website.
All the food.
All the food. Okay, because that seems like it's incredibly handy.
And she travels loads and does a lot of travel content. And again, she's picked European cities that I had never thought of.
Okay.
That I'm like, okay, that's on my list to go to. And yeah, I think like we've so much access to Europe.
Yeah.
Like, of course you want to go to Copenhagen and Paris. And like my favourite city in all of Europe to eat in is Rome.
Yeah. Oh, but my God, so beautiful.
Like, and I have a map of probably 100 plus restaurants in Rome that I share with people who are going, because I'm like, I don't want anyone to eat badly anywhere they go.
Okay, well, I need that off you because I'm getting married in Rome in August and I haven't talked about anything bar my actual wedding menu.
Okay, amazing.
And there's so much
amazing
more going on. Ali, if people would like to follow you and look at your recommendations, where can they go?
I'm on Instagram, just Ali Dunworth.
Happy days. And nice name that you can just get that as a handle,
yeah,
isn't it?
it's not a very common name. And then I'm also on Substack, The Kitchen Press.
Fantastic.
So, and anyone, you know, on Instagram, anyone who asks me for a map or recommendations, yeah, I'm going to send it to them. Because again, I want us all to eat well. I want us to avoid the top TripAdvisor place that maybe isn't the place that everybody eats.
Yeah, you want us all to have a great holiday, great food, yeah, for a great price. Ali, thank you so much.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.